Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you this morning. The lesson that we have this morning, I could have taught three a month on the first verse. It's one of those lessons. It is packed. And remember, the last 3 weeks that we've studied, you know, we had the great lesson from Teresa where she showed the Last Supper with Jesus and how they left there and they went up into the mountains after they had met for the Last Supper. So this is where we are. So we've had all one day and then going up into the mountains, and this is Jesus' very last message to them and also to us while he was on earth before he ascended, before he's crucified and then were raised from the dead and ascended back to his Father. So these are very, very important words. And I've written all over my Bible. I've got 3 pages here, so if we don't get through, that's just fine. So, Father God, we are just so thankful that you have given us the last words that Jesus said to his disciples before he was going to be turned over and taken into captivity by the Romans and crucified the next day. So these are very important words, and these are important to us just as they were important to them and the people that he was speaking to when he told them originally. And we praise you, Holy Spirit, that you preserve these words, that you empowered these words, and that you have given them in a form that we can read them and we can study them and we can see how important our Lord is to us. So as we go into our lesson this morning, may the Holy Spirit teach each one of us the truth that he feels that each one of us needs to know. And just bless us as receivers and open our ears and our eyes to the truth. So when I was starting out here, I asked you, what did you think that you saw about the first verse? When you go to the first 2 words, and what are they? What does that tell you? This is Jesus. That Jesus is God. And because he said, I am. And then he said, the true vine. And my Father is the gardener. Lana, will you read from Isaiah? This is something very familiar to these Jewish people, is talking about vineyards.
I'm going to read you Isaiah 5, 1 through 7, New Living Translation. A song about the Lord's vineyard. Now I sing for the one I love, a song about his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a rich and fertile hill. He plowed the land, cleared its stones, and planted it with the best vines. In the middle, he built a watchtower and carved a wine press in the nearby rocks. Then he waited for a harvest of sweet grapes, but the grapes that grew were bitter. Now you people of Jerusalem and Judah, you judge between me and my vineyard. What more could I have done for my vineyard that I have not done already? When I expected sweet grapes, why did my vineyard give me bitter grapes? Now let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will tear down its hedges and let it be destroyed. I will break down its walls and let the animals trample it. I will make it a wild place where the vines are not pruned and the ground is not hoed, a place overgrown with briars and thorns. I will command the clouds to drop no rain on it. The nation of Israel is the vineyard of the Lord of heaven's armies. The people of Judah are his pleasant garden. He expected a crop of justice, but instead he found oppression. He expected to find righteousness, but instead he heard cries of violence.
So this is what the Jewish people had had from way back in history. They were thinking, I am the vine. I am the ones. I am the vineyard. And God had wanted them to be God on earth. And, you know, we never did follow God very well the very beginning on. And so his idea was to have a group of people that were completely dependent upon him, that were loving like him, and they could see how God took care of his people. And the only thing he asked them to be is to follow him and let him be their king. Well, it didn't take long until they wanted a king like everybody else. And then it didn't take long till they wanted a idol like everybody else. And it was not long until they were not the picture of godly people that God had desired for them to be. So I think that's a real warning to us, that we need also to remember that we are God's representatives on earth. And you know, when the church is formed and when they began to meet, he said that you love one another because that will show everybody who I am if you love each other. So this is the setting of the people that is there. You know, it's helped me. I'm not a wine drinker. I tried, but it went to vinegar only. Anyway, but to see the vineyards now, you know, every once in a while on TV you'll see that, and it always amazes me. They cut them back about 3 leaves, and you know, they just prune them down to the ground, but you never see a weed, you never see anything in them. And they are cultivated and they are set apart, and nobody can come in there and mess up that vineyard. And that's the kind of people that God wanted, was they did not have the influence of the people around them. So without Jesus and without the Holy Spirit, we did not as people have the capacity to come and show others Jesus. But that is not true anymore. We have the capacity and the power by the Holy Spirit to be his people. I think it's so interesting where it goes in here, then it says, I am the true vine. And my father is the gardener. Have you ever tried to grow anything in Central Texas? I came from the High Plains where we probably had 3 feet of dirt. And you could stick a dead twig in the ground and it'd grow. Well, I came down here. My mother one day was here. She said, run out in the backyard and get me some dirt. I need to put it in this flower pot. I said, we don't have any dirt. She said, what? I said, I don't have any dirt. There's not any dirt out there. And so then I got to thinking about Jesus and God, him being the true vine, but the Father is the gardener. And the Father, as the gardener, even created the dirt. He even created the seed. And that was the first thing he did before he created us, his people. And this is trying to teach us from creation that I expect you to be in my garden. And then he stuck the people in the garden to show them what a garden was and how it would meet every one of their needs, and that didn't please them either. So I think that if you lay that down before you think about what Jesus is trying one more time before he goes back to heaven to tell us, you are my garden. And to think about all of this gardening and stuff and how good a soil, and our soil is our hearts. And the seed is his word that he plants within our hearts. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he protects us and he builds a hedge around us and he encourages us to know what he wants us to know. So we go on and it said, why is it necessary for us to become fruitful? And so the next thing is, it said he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so it will be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the words I have spoken to you. Remember, remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. When you get home, take a marker and go back and reread all of this chapter and circle if. I don't know how many ifs are in here. I gave a lesson on this one time when I was making grape jelly. I had a vine that had grown up and it had come to the top of trees in the backyard. And I found out if you climbed up a ladder, the grapes at the top were the best because they got the most sunshine. Everything God has given us tells us about himself. He said the closer you get to the sun, or the sun is so in, the more fruitful you're going to be. And I think the main thought you need to read in here, it is not up to me to grow the fruit. And also, what is the fruit? And that's Galatians.
Galatians 5, 1 through 7, New Living Translation. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you're counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. I'll say it again. If you are trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. For if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness that God has promised to us. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. You were running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth?
In Galatians, the 5th chapter, it says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. So many times, I know I was talking through some women on Wednesday night, we look at the fruit as people that comes to faith. But really, how you come to faith is by looking to Jesus and taking up the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. And you continue to look at Him and you grow in love as you see how He has loved you. You grow in joy with thinking about He has taken away your sins. And you grow in all of the fruits of the Spirit, which are listed in Galatians, the latter part of that chapter. And at that time, they were guilty of what we're guilty of. Well, I've got to go bear fruit. You cannot do it. That's what we're going to learn here. Without Jesus, you can do nothing. And so when he thinks it's all up to us, that is where we get off on the wrong foot to begin with. So let's go back to see what we can find here. So then, anyway, when I was doing this pruning also, there was a lots of branches that I'd pull off just in that. I was teaching in Salado, and by the time I would take one of those branches that was real vibrant when I left here, and I'd get to Salado, that thing was already wilted. And that's what you look like when you try to do this without Jesus. And that was the best time I had the best visual aids I've ever had in my life, because I was going on the top of a ladder making jelly. And but God has given us everything in creation for one reason, that's to teach us about himself. And so then, as I said, since God is the gardener, he made the dirt, he even made us out of dirt. Have you thought about that? And we are a garden. And when you think that, well, that is our hearts are in here, it don't feel like dirt. But that if you die and you stay dead too long, that's what you're going to be, is dirt again. Anyway, so everything has a reason. And I love it right down here when you go in here in verse 3, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. So every Wednesday when we come and every day when you open up your Bible at home, you're in a cleanup. The words of God cleanses our hearts and opens us up to faith by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the more you put of that word in your heart, the more you're going to be able to pull it out when you need it. And the more blessed and the cleaner you're going to feel. So that is another lesson. Every sentence in this thing has a lesson. So what are we commanded to do? Remain in me, and I will remain in you, because no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So I look all the time, I always ask myself, where's my focus? If my focus is on me and I haven't done this and I haven't called that and I haven't seen if I can teach somebody today, anytime you put that I in there, you're blocking. Only thing Jesus wants us to do is look to him. And as we look to him and the Holy Spirit brings us what we need, then we're moving in the right directions, because it says here We can do nothing unless we stay in Him. I was thinking about a tree, like a peach tree. You know, peaches is one of my favorite. And that peach tree that has peaches on it, well, finally, you have to stick it in the ground and just get over it being put in the ground. And about 5 years later, it's going to start getting a little bit bigger and a little bit more. And then if you get enough water and enough fertilizer and enough good dirt, then automatically it starts producing fruit. There's not a limb on that tree that's saying, "Oh, gotta produce a peach." You just produce peaches. So that's what he's saying here. If you are rooted in God, if you are rooted in His Word, if your faith is rooted in His love, you don't have to worry about if you're going to produce anything, because you're not going to do it anyway. It comes automatic. And then you can look around and all of a sudden there's a lot of peaches around you, and you're encouraged because of all the peaches that showed up. Y'all are my peaches this morning. So this is so simple. So listen to it. And then he said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me," there's one of those ifs. "If a man remains in me, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Who's talking? Jesus. Jesus is the one that is the vine. We've got to stay connected to Jesus. We've got to stay connected to His Word. We've got to stay open to the power of the Holy Spirit. "If anyone does not remain in me," there's another if, "he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned." Now there's another if. "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you." There's the open door prayers. You ask because you're connected to me. He goes in here and says that we are even friends. He said, "I have told you why I came. I have given you all the information that God wants me to give you." We are part of His people. We are a part of Himself. "This is to my Father's glory." So anytime that you are staying close to Jesus, you're looking to Jesus, you're not sitting around worrying if you're doing anything right, wrong, or upside down, and you've got centered on Jesus, you are giving your Father glory. Because that is the aim of Jesus to come to begin with, was to show us His Father. And we can't see His Father without seeing Him through His Son. "So this is my Father's glory, that you bear fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples." And what is the fruit? It's to be loving, to be caring, to be joyful, to be all of the things that God has wanted us to be. And He gives us that by the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot, there's some people, "Well, I've just got to be more loving." You got to be more in God and Jesus in the Word. If you want to be more loving, you don't manufacture it by making up your mind you're going to be more loving. Because you're focusing on yourself again. Anytime you go to look at that, where is my focus? If my focus is on Jesus, and if my focus is on how much He loves me, and my focus is on His Word, I am not focusing on me. And it's so freeing. It's not up to me. So then we go on. "And as the Father has loved me," see, that's our foundation. You know, you go back and you read John 1, 2, and 3 at the back there. It says, God is love. And you love because He first loved you. Every time you see a kid's not very lovable, he hadn't been loved. If you want to bring somebody to the Lord, you just love the hound out of them. And you love them regardless how goofy they are or regardless what they say. That's not up to you. You just love them. But you learn to do that because Jesus loved me that way. You know, he bless her heart, she needs help. And she still, you think I look like I've gotten mature, 91 years old, for crying out loud. But He's been taking care of little Jean, and He still does. You know, he stops the traffic, He gives me parking places, and He thinks, well, maybe she don't know where she's going. He gives me directions. And so I'm still His baby, and you're His baby, and He loves you. And so look to Him. So, we're down to 9 now. "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now, remain in my love." That is the only thing He's asking here from the beginning. beloved, and you cannot do it on your own. You have to depend on Jesus. You have to depend on His Word. You have to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, that was the first thing that I figured out after I was baptized and committed my life to Jesus. Everybody got better. There were some of them I didn't care much for up until that time. And I thought, man, they've changed. Guess what? The power of the Holy Spirit was convicting me. Watch what you're looking at, dear. As I said, I'm a real tardy child. Here comes another if. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love. So how important is it if we study the Bible to learn what He has commanded? You can't stay in something you don't know. And I just admire this class coming. You know, we've been running about 50 women here through the summer, and nobody usually even has a ladies' class during the summer. That tells me that you are very interested in knowing Jesus. And it just thrills me to death. And that He is here, and that when you come together, there's so many people that said, I've never seen a group of ladies like this before. I neither. I've been teaching this class for 20 years. Sometimes we've had as much as 12 different denominations represented, but not a one of them said, well, I don't like the way you do things because that's not the way I've done it. You're just here to know who Jesus is. You're just here to know who God is. You're just here to study and to pray for each other and to be His children. And so it is a very, very encouraging thing to me. So in 10, if you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love. These are promises. And just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love, always He puts it back there. You know, we do what Jesus does because Jesus did what His Father told Him to do. And this is just God's mercy upon us. Because, you know, it's so much better to be among people that love each other than ones that's just scrapping. You can't tell me that God's not here. You put me 50 women together anywhere else in the world, some of them's going to be fighting. Yet Jesus is here. And He, when you walk in this door, you feel His presence. You feel the power of the Holy Spirit. And because this is not the norm of the day, especially among a bunch of women, but my bunch of women are the most loving bunch of women I've ever known, and you really encourage me. And I feel so blessed that you have learned this scripture. I have told you this, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. You want to be happy and joyful? Well, you learn His commandments, you keep His commandments, and you absorb His love, and you love others, and the others love you, and I guarantee you, it is a formula for very joyful living. I'm one of the most joyful people you ever ran into, because I am so loved, and I love. I just can't hardly wait each week to get up here and see you so that I can hug on you and love you. And so, it says, and then on top of that, when we do this, it tickles Jesus to death. And He did go to death for us. But He says, let's read it again. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. You might all circle that. You were spun around feeling very sorrowful and not very joyful. You got your focus on you again, or somebody that said something, or somebody that didn't say something, or somebody that forgot to do something. And because they're going to be out there. And you're going to think, what in the world's wrong with them? Well, probably me. But anyway, you need to remember, we're going to let each other down. Jesus will not let you down. And He will not go against His word because He got it from His Father. And we, when we are loving and we care for each other, He waits. He's just so excited to see us come to class on Wednesday because we're glad to see each other. Joyful bunch. So then, and if you do not have Him, you do not know. You know, you wonder about these people and what in the world's wrong with them. They don't know the Lord.
That's right.
And maybe if you keep loving on them and showing how much God loves you and that Jesus loves you, and you telling them about, you know, well, I don't know how you can do this. I can't. Jesus does it for me. Okay, we shall proceed. If you obey my commandments, you will remain. Notice that. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love. And so if you love, I wasn't a very obedient child. And yeah, I know that's a real surprise. I get to wondering sometime, I think I was autistic because I was off in my little world all the time. But you know, if you love your husband, you will do like he wants you to do. If you love your friend, you will try to please your friend. If you love anybody, you will try to please them. But, and that will make them joyful. But all of that is a gift from God. Your ability to love, your ability to love each other, your ability to know what love is. You know, it's so sad there's some people that get to be very old and have not been loved and don't know what love is. No wonder they're miserable. Because only source of love is Jesus. So here's another commandment. My commandment is this: love each other as I have loved you. That's not hard if you've got all the help of the Holy Spirit and you have all the help from Jesus. But these people that have not been loved, it is extremely hard for them to love because they're scared. Only thing they've had is pain. Only thing they have had is rejection. And so they need a dose of love a whole lot more than anybody you'll ever run into. So we need to love regardless if the other person's lovable. Now then, we have a great statement here. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. You know, everybody wants to be scared of Jesus or worried about things. Jesus wants to be your best friend. And when you feel like, I ain't got any friends, you've got one that'll never, ever, ever leave you. If you feel like you're in foreign territory and there's nobody knows you and nobody loves you, you will never be alone if you know Jesus and his love. And he says, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Friends know how other friends function. If you live close to somebody for years, you know what their joys are, you know what their sorrows are, you know what they've been through. You've walked through all kind of heartaches, getting well, everything, getting sick, losing people, and you know, all of these kind of things binds us together. And so this is what Jesus said, I am there with you regardless of what you're going through. And I know better than anybody what you're going through. Jesus, that two or three of the saddest statements I think that we've heard from Jesus, I think at the very beginning of John, where he said, I came unto my own and my own would not receive me. And you know, there's so many people that feel like that was their family. You know, I was the black sheep of the family. Nobody wanted me because I was not as smart as the other, not as good as the other, not as this as the other. And they feel like that they never measured up. You measure up for Jesus. He wants you to be his friend. And the way he wants you to be his friend is for you to get to know how much he loves you. And he's not going to expect anything of you that you can not be empowered by the Holy Spirit to do. He's not going to ask you to do something that he knows you cannot do. You may not know you can do it until you try, until you pray, until you wait years, and until you grow in faith. And it may be in his timeline that you will learn that, but he's going to do that if you just stick with him and continue to be open to his leading. And so in the very beginning, we always look at us as servants. We have to serve our Lord. We have to serve our God. And Jesus had just left the supper before that, and he sat down and he washed all of everybody's feet. And he said, this is my example, that you will serve one another. And if you love somebody, you'll wash their feet. If their feet needs washing and they can't reach them, we have a lady in here that's washed my feet for 15 years. Her name's Robin. Because I can't reach the dadgum things well enough to do a very good job of it. But she does that on a basis of every once in a while, and she thinks, good Lord, why'd she wait so long to come in? Anyway, and my husband got to where that was the only way that he didn't have pain in his feet was for me to wash them. So I sat on the floor and stuck his feet in water every day so his feet wouldn't hurt for a while. It doesn't matter what somebody needs, if you love them, you'll sit on the floor. And it's not like being a servant, it's like being a loving person. And that's just one more way that you express your love. And if somebody washes your feet, it's a great pleasure. So then it said, I have learned from my father and have made to own to you, because I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my father, I have made known to you. That is our purpose, and that is the way we do. You seek to know God. You seek to know God by knowing His Word. Every word in this Bible is empowered and reserved and given to you for one purpose, so you will know Jesus, so you will know God, so you will be blessed to be loving, to be joyful, and to be able to understand and know God. And then it just amazes me, did you know the creator of this world will listen to me anytime I want to talk to him? That's prayer. If that hadn't just blew your mind, I don't know what's wrong with you. And you know, even in the middle of the night, he has to work on me in the middle of the night when I'm half asleep and part of me is out of the way. That's why I don't ever get much sleep from about 2 to 4. That's where I've probably written more lessons than I've ever written. And all of a sudden I wake up and I think, wow. And he thought, well, I finally got through to her and sleep. Anyway, he is there. We are loved. When the creator of the universe will listen to us day and night, nobody else will. He said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go bear fruit. And that fruit, remember, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness. You know, just kindness. You know, you smile at somebody at the grocery store and they just, nobody smiled at them all day. It doesn't take much to share Jesus' love. Just be kind. Be gentle. You can't, and all this idea that I am going to bring someone to the Lord is, you done lost it. You cannot, you do, Jesus said, you cannot do anything if you don't do it through me. I don't have that kind of power. Now you can pray for the Holy Spirit to convict their heart, to open their ears, to open their eyes, and point them in the right direction. But if they come to the Lord, it's His business, not mine. I've had so many people, well, did you think they were saved? I said, I don't have a clue. That's not my job. They look like it. Listen, some of the biggest hypocrites in the world looks like it. But you don't know their heart. And so, don't worry about them. And I think, do not fear and do not worry pops up about every other chapter in the whole Bible. Jesus says, I got it. You look at me. I'm all you need. And I have everything to be with you. They get this, you know, we get this thing every once in a while coming through the computer says, if Jesus knocks on your door, will you let him in? He lives here. Will he let me in? That's one of the dumbest statements I've read lately. Anyway, so then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. And this, listen here, circle 17, this is my command. Love each other. Is that hard to understand? It's hard to do. Because we're not very lovable sometimes, most times. But Jesus loved us regardless whether we were lovable or not, because he thought, by loving this kid long enough, and if she lives long enough, she'll learn to love him. So, we have another if. If the world hates you, keep it in mind, they hated me first, and they're fixing to take him and kill him on a cross for all things. But that's according to God's will. If you belong to this world, it would love you as its own. So if you can't get along with all these people out here that's talking crazy, that's a norm, because you're crazy. You believe in one man that went out and killed himself for you. Well, you don't know what you're talking about. I do know what I'm talking about, because I do know my Lord, and you don't. But they're going to think, look, there's wind. And as it is, you do not belong to this world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Think of all the million of people that's been on this whole earth. Did you know he has chosen you? As goofy as I am, he chose me. Because he thought, she's going to need more help than anybody I've seen lately, even when he created me. And he said, this is why the world hates you. Remember the words that I spoke to you, no servant is greater than their master. Now here's another if. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. And they, it may be your brother, it may be your sister, it may be your kid, it may be your friend, at one time or another, and you feel persecuted because they don't understand what you're up to now. Most people don't understand what I'm up to. Anyway, there's going to be times when you're going to be at crosshairs with people you love, but you just love them anyway because Jesus loves you. Here's another if. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you the way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. They don't know God. They don't know God's good. They don't know God's love. They think he's scary. Because they're scary, because they know they're sinners, and they don't want to admit it. And they can't live up to what it is. So here we have another if. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. It's double guilt. Anytime that anybody hears a sermon, anybody that hears about Jesus and walks away from him, they've just added another layer of guilt. However, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. Look, here's another if. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. If he had not come, if he had not lived a life of perfection, if he had not shown what love is, he came to show us what compassion is by being compassion. He came to show us love by loving us. He came to show what prayer to God will do for you by praying. Everything that he came to do, it was for you, is to teach you what God is. And that was his purpose. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what was written in the law. They hated me without reason. There is so much truth in God's word. People will hate you without reason. And you think, well, I'm a pretty good person sometimes. But they just don't like you. Most of the time, is it because they see Jesus in you and they feel uncomfortable, and they don't want to feel uncomfortable, and they won't do what they want to do, and so get out of my way. It's a norm. Now then, we're going to close this out. 26. When the counselor, who's the counselor? You know, we spent all last week talking about the counselor, the Holy Spirit, the counselor, the teacher, the guide, the comforter. When he comes, he's come, and whom I will send you. See, these people have not received him yet. Pentecost has not come. And so it's real hard for them to understand. But he said, you're going to when the Holy Spirit comes. Because he will open your ears. He will open your eyes. He will teach you about Jesus. He will bring back to you every remembrance, all of the things that we've done for the last 3 years. And he will instruct you and lead you and protect you. When he comes, he said, and I will send to you from the Father the Spirit of truth that comes from the Father. He will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. But that will be if you testify, the Holy Spirit working through you. You don't have to sit around and worry. He opens doors for people to come in. I think I've seen about 12 women older than 65, or at least older than 60, all of a sudden come up to me and said, I want to make a public statement. I want to be baptized and show everybody that Jesus died for me and was resurrected. I didn't talk to them about it. I didn't knock on the door and say, you, if you died today, are you going to hell or heaven? That used to be done. The word of God draws you, appoints you, and pulls you to himself. And then you just run up and go to him because he's invited you and he wants you to be your friend. This is a powerful Pax lesson. He called you, he appointed you, he brought the word to you, he taught you, he loved you. Just look to him and love him. That's you know, and love each other. Is that hard? It is for some people. And so we have hope and encouragement of the coming of the Holy Spirit and the power to know Jesus, to obey him, and to become like him, and to love each other as Jesus has loved us.